So I had committed to sharing the message even before we went to Florida. Jesse had wondered if I could share when we get back and maybe share on the prison crusade and then also just share the message. And I thought, yeah, sure, it would be okay. But this week I just had an intense battle with just being distracted. We'd just come back from the crusade and didn't get back till late Monday night, and then in unloading and just the different responsibilities that go with that. And I also kind of had planned before I left that I want to do at least one more day of hunting, which I guess that could have waited. But just kind of distracted with some things like that. And Thursday night, could you get me some water, John, or somebody? Give me a little water. Thursday night, went to bed and just shared with the family, and they gathered around and prayed for me, and just nothing was coming, and just didn't know where to go, and just felt distracted. But Friday morning, I woke up, and it was, just kind of the same thing, and as soon as I woke up, there was just like, okay, what is it? What do you want, Lord? What are you asking? And what are you wanting me to share? So I was getting dressed, and so my phone dinged, and every morning there's, I don't know what time of the morning, I get this verse of the day from, it's like a, pops up every morning at the same time as the verse of the day that the Bible app that I have. And I look at it, and it's, I don't even know which scripture it is, but it's, ask, and ye shall receive. And I was just like, okay, thank you, Lord. We can believe the word of God. And I went into prayer time, just praying and nothing. So I was like, okay, well, I'll share with the brothers, just tell them, this is Friday morning and I don't have nothing. I don't know what we have to share. But so I left them a message just on our leadership chat there and just told them. And it was like immediately after I hung up, the Lord spoke. And I guess I was just encouraged with that. How honest can we be? Is it okay to be honest? That I don't know why, but I'm distracted. And I'm not sure what to share. And yet I feel like that was, I needed to share something. And this morning I want to look at Mark 7. This is a little bit along the line that I was sharing in the prisons, yet it's not the same scriptures, but I'm going to read Mark 7 from verses 1 to 30. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and tables, vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. And when he had called unto the people, called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. As I just want to look at maybe a little bit on the apostles' side of this story, and the Pharisees and the scribes. We see leading up to this chapter, in Mark 6, Jesus feeds a big crowd of people, 5,000 men. And after that, he shows up on the water, walking on the water, coming out to the disciples there across the water. And then he ends up in Gennesaret, and there the crowds of people just come and bring their sick people to him, and he heals them, just to the point of just touching his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. And I guess I see this as, like, Jesus is coming, and this stuff is just like, just imagine these disciples. Here they are, they just seen Jesus feed this whole crowd of people with these few little fish and a couple loaves. Like, this is just kind of out of this world, you would say, to feed that many people with so little, and yet have 12 baskets left over. And then he tells them to go. He sends the crowd away, and they're out on the water, rowing, and then he comes walking on the water. And this is, again, just like, this don't just happen. And then, just to confirm it, he ends up in Gennesaret, and they just heal hordes of people, as many as believed, or as many as touched him. And I guess I'm trying to put myself in the disciples' shoes here. These are just ignorant, unlearned men. They're anything from a doubter to an impulsive Peter to a zealot to brothers who favor each other, and just undone people. And Jesus is just proclaiming the gospel this way. And then what would we do if we were in this situation? Or maybe we could look at it, what would we do if we would see that going on about us? Would we be, I tend to be critical to the scribes and Pharisees. Like, they just hated this. And yet, how would I take something like this today? If we'd have a man that would come, proclaim himself to be God, or make himself equal with God or whatever, and do all these miracles, healing people, telling people to, you know, in their sense, he was breaking their law. He tell people to get up and take your bed, and healing people, just kind of unordinary things. And how would we react to something like that? I guess is what I'm saying. Before, I guess I was preparing this message, it was maybe more like, do we recognize, you know, the, and I shared this in the prisons, is God can't use us in that religious mindset. And yet, I guess as I was writing down my notes this morning, all of a sudden it hit me, okay, so really, how would I take this if this was in my day? How would I respond to this kind of things? And I guess it gave me a little more compassion for the Pharisees and the scribes. And I know there was a day that, there was a time that I lived in that way. I was better than everybody else, and we had this attitude after we got born again that we know better than our leaders. We have something they don't, and we just kind of had an attitude about ourselves. And I know God had to deal with that very severely one day. But here we see this, all these miracles in this chapter 6, and then the first thing we read in 7 is there was certain of the scribes and the Pharisees that were there to try to bring condemnation to the disciples, and just petty little things. You know, why don't you wash your hands before you eat? You know, that you're and they came from Jerusalem, it says, and I don't think that was just really close to where these, where Jesus and his disciples were at the time. It could have been almost a day or two's journey if you're walking. And yet I believe they were just following Jesus, trying to find fault with anything that was going on. And apparently the disciples were eating here somewhere. The disciples were eating bread and they didn't wash their hands first. You know, and he's just trying to make a point here. And immediately he's like, you know, Isaiah prophesied about you. Like, this has been prophesied. You honor me with your lips, and yet your heart is not right. Like, you don't have the heart that you're always finding fault. But then in verse 14, Jesus kind of takes this thing to the inside, and he called all the people to them. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Like, it's not a little bit of dirt on your hands is going to defile you. It's very appropriate to be clean and wash your hands and avoid, you know, putting wrong bacteria in you. That's not, nothing wrong with that. But like, he was trying to get to the point, like, they're making this an issue. If you eat with dirty hands, or maybe their hands weren't even that dirty, but if you think about what they were doing, they had been with a whole crowd of people, and they were out late rowing across the water, and then it says in the morning they came to Gennesaret and started healing these people, and I don't know what they were all doing, but they probably got in contact with a lot of people. And then they're eating bread without washing their hands. And Jesus wanted to deal with this specific. So he's like, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And then he has this, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So when he goes into a house with the disciples, then he explains this. Are ye also without understanding? Do ye not perceive that what things come from without and do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? It goes into the belly and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. But it's what comes out of the man that defiles the man. From your heart, Jesus wants to give us a new heart, our old heart. And I, you know, we grew up Amish, and we had a great heritage. We still do. I love that heritage. I love the people. I love that, the culture. But one thing we have that everybody else does, and that's an unconverted heart. And I guess that's just what I was sharing is my heart at birth and growing up was just like every one of yours here this morning. You know, we tend to think we have maybe an extra or an advantage, but yet God said in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Like, that's us before we are converted. That's where I was. That's where I was growing up. I didn't do that my first couple years. But once I began to know and got into contact with real life and just the desires in my heart, that was it. Just continually to do evil. But here is what we want to look at this morning. It's that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. That's the first thing. And I believe, really, the rest of them all come out of this. Like, I think adulteries, fornication, murders, I think this all comes from the evil thoughts in our heart. I believe our thought process, the thoughts that we think, the thoughts that we dwell on, is really the result of the rest of the list. And let's think about that. Maybe it's in Romans. It talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I believe that's the beginning of a transformation in our life, is that we allow our minds to be renewed and to be transformed. That's how we become transformed, is as our mind is renewed. And here Jesus puts it, the first thing is our thought process is going to result in all these others. I don't doubt that one bit. Adulteries, fornication, murders. You don't just one day you have a clean heart and the next day you just murder someone. Like, it's a process of anger, bitterness. There's a process that goes on. There's probably a dwelling on of the evil and just the intents of our heart. And then eventually it ends up in murder. Theft, the same way. You think about it, and you have it, maybe covetous is next, and you just think about what I could have if I had this. What could I do if I had this? Or what could happen if I'd have this much money, or this car, or this piece of equipment, or this, out of the wrong motive, out of thinking wrong things. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, blasphemy. Just thinking about, just having that thought process. And that's where the scribes and Pharisees, they accuse Jesus of blasphemy. And yet I think their heart, and as you think about the years leading up to the crucifixion and really who crucified Jesus, and you think their thought process, it was just escalating and escalating and escalating. I think it was over a matter of 3 years. We can see what happens when we meditate and think the wrong things. And in 3 years, they were that angry. Stephen shared a little bit this morning of what they did with Jesus. They were that angry, and I believe they just despised him. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. These are the things that defile us. And I think this is why Jesus wants to give us a new heart. He wants to give us a heart of flesh, one that is pliable, one that is soft, one that can feel, one that can touch, taste, one that can minister life. And that was one thing my wife shared about the prison crusade. I don't know. Going into a crusade, there's one purpose. And you can feel that in the whole crowd. There was 400 people or whatever. Maybe, no, that's in South Carolina. It's usually around 400. But here there might have been about 160 to 200. I'm not quite sure. But you can just feel the unity. You can feel the anticipation of what's happening that weekend. And everybody's fired up. And I think even Florida, so much more than any of the other crusades we do, for some reason, there seems to be a difference in the Florida crusade. It's maybe not as big, but the people who travel 16 hours to spend 4 days in prison usually aren't just there for some kind of fun. And there's just there's a group that comes down every year from Abundant Life. Sam Esch, I think, is his name. He's been leader there at Liberty for years, and like them guys go home whooped, and they pray through, they press through. I know the last day they had been praying for this one. I don't know if it was specifically the one guy, but it wasn't the last day. One night they had a gang leader got saved, and like there's just a passion there, and I really, my respect is to those who volunteer all day long. I mean, they work hard. They don't just come down there to, you know, spend half the day at the motel hanging out. Like, they're gone by the time I get up. Some of them are gone already, and they're not there until after we get back and a few hours later. And I think, Joanna, you said they were in like 10 in the morning till 8 at night. That's 10 hours. And you're giving and you're ministering, and that's just God wants to stir and do that. If there's a unity and a purpose, and you can see that in the Tower of Babel, there was a unity and a purpose. Anything can happen. So do we know what our purpose is and what we're striving for? God wants to give us a new heart. God wants to change us. He wants to purge us. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. A double-minded man cannot expect anything from God. We're always flip-flopping, always one way, and then we're the other way. And I think, in a sense, you know, the disciples had that potential, because when they were with Jesus and they saw the things that he did and they saw the miracles that he performed and the people flocked to him, and yet when they were alone, they'd just fail, and they would just like go by their feelings, maybe. I don't know. It just continuously, we have that potential if we let our feelings get in the way. But is our heart pure? Has God purified your heart this morning? Do we recognize what's in there? Do we know what's coming out of us? And I think I guess as I close here, I don't think it's just a coincidence that he ends up in the borders of Tyre and Sidon in his house, and then there's this Syrophoenician woman come up. Like, he had just gotten done doing all these miracles, and and the people are blaming them, you know, of eating with unwashed hands. And he explains this, that this is what defiles you. And then we have this Greek woman crying after him that he would heal his daughter, as was possessed with a devil. And I'm going to look at Matthew 15. It gives it a little bit more detail there. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Now listen to what she said. "O Lord, thou son of David." This is a Gentile Greek woman, a mixed breed between the Syrians and the Greeks. Like, this is not a normal one that just anybody would take. Like, this is probably a person that even the Pharisees wouldn't touch. But she calls him, "O Lord, thou son of David." Where did she get that? Like, how did she know that he was the son of David? How did she know that he was the Lord? "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. Get rid of her. She's just bothering us." But he answered to her. Well, it says he answered and said. And I think back here in Luke, it says he answered this to her. In Matthew, it says he answered and said, "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Like, "I didn't come for you," basically is what he's saying. Testing her faith. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." And I just love that. "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Like, this is Jesus ministering to a woman who has a daughter that is needy. And he's just saying that, like, "I didn't come for you," or like, "It's not proper that I cast the children's bread and give it to the dogs." But she didn't quit. She's like, "True, Lord, that's right. It's not. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." It's like, "I'm okay with just your crumbs. Like, I just want something from you. I just need what you have. Even if it's just crumbs, I don't need a piece of bread. I just want your crumbs this morning." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Then in verse 30 there in Mark 7, "And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed." What a beautiful story this morning of Jesus cutting through just maybe our religious motives at times, just pointing to us, he wants our hearts to be pure. Like, he wants us to think thoughts of peace and have thoughts that will honor him. He doesn't want us to be full of covetous and evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications. He died for that. He's not going to cast you out if you're there. He just wants you to come, pick up the crumbs, and be healed. Even your children. She was here on behalf of her daughter. So do we, I guess this morning, do we fight in the proper place? Like, do we recognize the war? Last evening, who was it? Danish, I think, they sang a song, something about being at war with your mind. Do we recognize the war, the true war that we're continuously against? It's a war of the mind. Like, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but there's a mind game. There's a mind battle. We're continuously fighting And we need to recognize the true battle and where that battle lies. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we get transformed. Renew your mind in Jesus' name. God bless you.